Hi, and welcome to the DIY Photo Organizing Podcast, focusing on topics to help you with your photo management. I'm Chantal from Photos in Order.
And I'm Fiona from Photo Helper. Hey, Chantal, how are you?
Hi, Fiona. I'm very good. How are you?
Good, good, good. So we've got a lovely episode today, really practical, helpful, and extremely important. I'm really looking forward to this chat today. So we're going to be focusing on photo privacy and the best ways to share to keep your photos safe. And this is really important in today's day and age of digital reality. I think it's such an important topic. And I know it's something that's always on our minds and has been on our listeners' minds. And we don't often know a lot of the detail and the background. And so I think it's a really valuable topic for us to talk about. And we have a very special guest to share this information with today, which is exciting. So we're going to talk about the privacy issues and how they can arise from utilizing a cloud storage solution, and potentially the red flags that, you know, we really can help you through and identify so that you can be just more informed. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the specific programs, maybe, you know, like Google Photos and Apple Photos. There's a lot of different ones out there. So we'll talk in general terms and some specifics as well. So we've invited a colleague and an expert in this area, which I'm really thrilled to be able to introduce, Alison Friedman from Arrange Wander Focus. Hey, Alison, how are you? Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
That's wonderful to have you. So Chantal, if you'd like to tell us a little bit about Alison before we jump straight in.
Yeah, so I'll just read that out, her little bio. But I mean, it's amazing. You should probably write a book, Alison.
Yeah.
So Alison is an amateur nature photographer, and she spent years as an attorney utilizing cutting edge technology to organize large numbers of files into a succinct story. So her business combines her passion for photography and her skills in handling vast amounts of data to assist people who are overwhelmed by their photos and to take control so that they can use, enjoy, and share them, and that they can actually find that one photo whenever they want, wherever they want. And she loves helping clients finally put all of their photos into one place, organized, preserved, and accessible from everywhere.
Thanks so much for coming on today, Alison. It really is wonderful. So before we dive in, I know that every business, you know, really brings with it the personality and the heart of the person that's in the business. And we can see that within you. So can you just tell us a little bit, and our lovely listeners, just about your sort of personality, the heart of your business, just a little bit about you and what your business is about, just to start with.
Sure. Well, honestly, I love listening to this part of your podcast because I love listening and finding out what your guests have done and what they're all about. So I love being able to share my part of that story. My interest in photos goes all the way back till when I was like tiny, tiny. And I've always taken a ton of them. And one reason is because I have always focused on nature with my photos. That's my favorite thing to do, especially birds. And when you're taking photos of birds, it's really hard to get the good ones. So you take hundreds and thousands and you keep one. So I've always had a big collection and I've always been intrigued by keeping it tidy and keeping it straight and just love bringing my camera outdoors. So whenever I have free time, that's where I am. But I, in my earlier life, had to actually make a living. So, you know, I'm not that good of a photographer. So money was not going to come from my bird photos, unfortunately. So I've had a lot of different jobs, but I did spend 17 years as an attorney with some photography on the side. And then I left that job on December 31st, 2019, which is either the greatest or the worst timing in history, because as we all know what happened in 2020, that was supposed to be my year where I go out and explore and travel, and it was going to be amazing. And you can imagine it was not. Right. So instead, I, you know, spent a year shepherding my kids through school, and like everybody, homeschooling in the basement, doing all of that kind of stuff. But I did, you know, blessing in disguise, because I did start my business during that time. And it was something that I could do remotely. So that worked out incredibly well for me. And I actually hatched it sitting at my parents' dining room table in Poland, Maine. About as far away from anywhere as you could be. So it's been wonderful. It's been really fun. And now I've been able to use a lot of the skills that I had learned in the past to put them to good use and help people with their photos. If I could tame my own photos, I can tame anybody's photos.
I did read on your website that you're sitting on around 100,000 in your collection. Is that right?
I have more than that, and that is the pared down version. Like I said, a lot of them are nature. So, you know, when I travel, we tend to travel to places where that's what I'm taking pictures of. And unlike people, where you can take a few, when you're trying to take pictures of gorillas or flying birds, you have to take a ton. So I delete most of them, but I still have a lot left.
Yeah, maybe we have to do another episode, Chantel, and get Alison back to talk about how she organizes her own photos. I'd love to hear about
it. I just thought the same thing. I'd love
The keywords you use and how you do that, what software program. Anyway, for another episode.
I'm a big keyworder. I'm a huge keyworder.
I bet. Yeah. What's your favorite? What's your, just jumping aside, completely off topic here, what is your most unusual keyword in your photo collection that you could think of?
Probably the marabou stork, because it's the world's ugliest bird. Oh. If you actually look up what is the world's ugliest bird, that one comes up.
Oh, okay.
And my son was obsessed with it. So I took a whole bunch of photos of these horrible storks standing on like dump heaps of garbage. So that's probably one of the more unusual ones that I have.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Wonderful. All right. So thank you. Such a beautiful story. And I could tell that we could just chat about these kinds of things for a long time. Let's jump into this really interesting topic. And I think it's so fascinating with your background as being an attorney. And just, you know, reading a bit about you, I can see that the interest in detail has, you know, to be able to do that as a skill set is such an important thing, to know the detail, look at these fine print of things like that. Let's jump into this topic around sharing our photos and privacy and things like that. Could you share where your interest in this area, and just so we can sort of jump into, you know, what happens, what things we might be able to be aware of, specifically when we're sharing our photos, some of the things we can start to, you know, focus on.
Sure. So my interest in privacy does relate back to my job as an attorney. As you can imagine, that's extremely important in that world. And in fact, I would come home in the evenings and my husband would ask, how was your day? What'd you work on? I was like, well, it was fine, but I can't tell you. I can't tell you anything. So there was always that in my world. And when I launched this business, I realized very, very quickly that it is extraordinarily important in the world of photos. And it was not at that time talked about a whole lot. I think it's a little bit more now. But there is so much information contained in our photos, and I don't think people necessarily realize that. So if you look at any given photo, you know, and I've done this exercise a few times, hold up a photo and see if the people that are looking at it, what kinds of things they can learn about you. And you'd be shocked. There's a huge list. It's location, it's age, it's often a birthday. You know, the parents who post first day of kindergarten and with the little cute signs where it says, I want to grow up to be a doctor and I love ballet. And the photo is taken outside of their house or outside of their school. So you know location, you know age, rough age, you know all sorts of things. And people don't realize that. And it's not a big deal when it's in your own collection. But when you start sharing that photo, so you take that snap on the first day of school and you email it or you text it to mom, and mom says, oh, this is fabulous. I love this photo. Thank you so much. And mom sends it to her sister. This is all fake, made up, by the way. My mother would never do this. but she sends it to her sister, and her sister says, oh, you know, so cute. And her sister sends it to her husband, and her husband sends it to his cousin because there was something interesting about the photo. Cousin forgets who these people are, or whatever. You know, it goes around and around, and the next thing you know, this photo is on Facebook, and whoever posted it doesn't even remember where it came from. And, you know, anybody in your Facebook world could take it. I don't know how locked down your Facebook account is, but whoever you're friends with can download that photo. They can keep sending it around and around and around. So one of the things that I talk to my clients about all the time is keeping your photo, like knowing where your photos are going. And sharing is actually the you're your own worst enemy there, depending. There's different ways to share, which I'm assuming we'll talk about, and some are more secure than others, but your own you are your own worst enemy in getting your photos out there.
I was just going to ask, when we talk about sharing, we're not just talking about sharing it on social media, but as you just mentioned, it could be sharing via text or email, or if, you know, if we upload it to a cloud storage place and like Dropbox or something, and we share a link to them. So this is all included. This is what we're talking about, right?
Yes. In fact, social media is interesting because Facebook and Instagram a while back used to include anytime you uploaded a photo, it would keep the location data, for example, in Facebook and Instagram, and other people could get that information. And then there were some lawsuits and a whole bunch of other stuff. And Facebook and Instagram now actually strip that data out. So you could actually argue you can get less information from the metadata of a Facebook photo than you can from that photo that you text to your mother.
Wow, that's amazing. So okay, so there's so many different areas. I want to kind of jump in now to the safety of it, but let's have a look at some of the I'm interested in the these misconceptions that people have, like, where we assume things and think, what's your knowledge around, give us some of the facts that we need to be aware of, if you could, that would be great.
There are definitely misconceptions about storing your photos online. And by photos, I mean photos and videos. I'm just shortening it there. But I would say, you know, a few years ago, or probably more than a few, there was this idea that, you know, you don't want to put your stuff up on Google or Apple or wherever, one of these sites, because then the company's going to take that photo and all of a sudden that cute photo that you took of your baby is going to show up on a billboard somewhere in an advertisement for baby food or something like that. The reality is that's not true anymore. And the cloud services are actually the bigger cloud services, they're actually quite safe as long as you set up the correct privacy settings. So when I mean big cloud services, I'm talking about Apple, Google, Amazon. Those are the biggest ones, probably. There's also SmugMug is used a lot in our world. And they have decent controls now. So if you actually read through their terms and conditions, which almost nobody does, but I have, and almost
It
nobody ever reads those, right?
must be.
They're actually pretty tight. they will not use your photos for things like advertising. They won't sell them to third parties for things like advertising. There are some situations where they may target ads to you based on things in your account. Although the funny thing there is, it's usually not your photos, it's usually your search history on Google and Amazon that'll do it. But they're relatively safe. They are, I would say that my photos, the ones that are in the cloud, and I've used all of them because I'm a photo manager, I need to understand how they all work. I think those are safer than the ones that I send out as a link to friends, say from a birthday party or a trip. Because the cloud service people are not looking at my photos and they are not selling my photos and they are not going to stick them up on a billboard somewhere.
So when you say okay, the higher risk then is the link. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So one of the easiest ways to share out of a cloud service, and this can be pretty much all of them, Apple, Google, SmugMug, Amazon, Forever, they all do it, is you can say put together an album of photos in that service and you can create a share link. And it's done slightly differently in all of these different cloud services, but the idea is the same. You create a link, you can then text or email that link to anybody you want. And the recipient will click on the link and up pops your 5, 10, 100, however many photos. And it's super easy and it looks great. You know, you get this great display on your phone or on your computer and you get to see all of these photos all at once. The problem is that link is actually public and anybody can forward that link to anybody else. So, using my example from before with my poor mom sending it to her sister, my mom's going to kill me if she ever listens to this. with the link, it's the same thing, only this time you're probably sending a whole lot of photos. So, you know, something I've received links that show, you know, we're getting ready to sell our house. So, what do you think of these staged photo pictures? Or, you know, we've cleaned up everything. So here are all the different rooms, and the rooms show all the different furniture, and they have the address, and they have all of your stuff, and all of this. It's actually public. Now, it's unlikely somebody is going to just get in there on their own if they weren't sent that link, because it's usually a very long URL. But that link can be forwarded to literally anybody, and anybody can open it and send it on to somebody else. And that's a
So
really dangerous way to share.
that's a good point. I never really thought about that.
yeah, so what you're saying, Alison, am I right in thinking, so you've created this link from within your library of, you know, a digital location, so call it Google, Amazon, or whatever. So when you attach, you select, let's say we've got 10 photos and we're sending them to your mum. Poor
Poor mom.
mum. So I've chosen my 10 in that link that I'm sending now. That, where does that sit? Is that sitting separately somewhere as a sort of a free space within my program, but then that's this public area that the, or are they, like, you know what I mean? So when they're clicking on that link and your mum's looking at my 10 photos, are they just now free from my security settings? Like, or is it, do you see what I mean? Like, well, how does this,
I think I know where you're going. Yeah,
yeah.
they essentially they are. So whatever privacy settings you have set on your account. So
Yep.
you have a Google account or an Apple account with all of your photos in it, and nobody can get in there, you know, if your settings are proper, which most people's, at least to that extent, are. They're not public. Nobody can get in there. But when you create a link, you are creating a link to those 10 photos that now anybody who has that link can
Right.
see. And in most most software platforms, the recipient can download them. They can see all of the metadata that's attached. And I know you've talked about metadata before, but that's the information of the location and when it was taken. And maybe there's keywords and captions and the name of the photo and all of that. Anybody can see that. And there's a couple companies that allow you to choose whether or not photos can be downloaded off a link. But most of them, it's all or nothing with that link. And, you know, the reality is if you are sending it to people you trust, are, you know, bad people going to come in and steal them? Probably not, but they could. And there are better ways to share that are a little safer. Yeah. Because you never really know who's going to send that around. I mean, I had some photos I took in Uganda last summer that I was really proud of. And I sent them out with a holiday card and I used a link because these are actually nature photos and really nobody cares about them but me. But I sent a link and I did actually have people that I didn't know that I did not send them to say, wow, your photos were amazing.
Oh.
And I said, well, how did you see them? Oh, mom sent them. Not my mom. Their mom sent them to me. Poor mom.
So there. I use SmugMug quite a bit if I want to share for my personal photos, but I know in SmugMug you can attach a password as well to the link. You can use the link, but also have it password protected on top of that. So does that actually then really help, or does it just make me feel better? that I think they're better protected, but they're not in reality. How is that working?
It depends, is the answer. So SmugMug is actually one, too, just as a little side note, where I believe that you can share and not allow the recipient to download, just as side note.
Correct.
So the password is great. Unless you are like most people and send an email or a text to your recipient that says, here's the link and here's the password. Because I can tell you that most people send them together.
Yes.
In which case you're not saving anything at all. In fact, you're just making yourself feel better, but you're really not helping. If you send them separately, you know, you send the link via email and then you send the password in a separate email or a text and you don't say, this is the password to the SmugMug link that I sent you an hour ago, you know, that kind of thing. That's a little bit safer, but I do think people get a false sense of security from the password because they don't use it properly. The password is great, but not when it's sent directly with the link.
Yes. So how can we do better?
There are ways to do that better. Almost all of the cloud storage sites that we have talked about, Apple, Amazon, Google, I could pick on any one of them, but most of them have a way of sharing that requires the recipient to log in and to use their email to log in. And if you don't have the email, you can't get in there. So Amazon, Google, it's called invited sharing, or maybe I just called it that. I'm not entirely sure, but where essentially you can send an email that has a link to your photos, but the person can't get in unless their email matches the email that it was sent to. So if I were to send it to poor mom, she would have to log in with her Amazon credentials or her Google credentials or her SmugMug credentials to actually access the photos. And a lot of people either don't know that's an option, or they do, but they don't want to use it because if you're doing it on Google, you need a Google account. And if you're doing it on Amazon, you need an Amazon account. And forever, you know, if you want to do it that way, you need for friends and family, you need a forever account. And a lot of these you can get for free, but it's an added step that can be a bit of a pain, but it is a lot safer to make sure that your photos aren't being forwarded on to anybody and everybody.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, that just that one step, it just seems Oh, it's easier to just send them the link, and it feels like it's secure enough, and you haven't thought about it that way. But really, how many times we have to, just create a quick password with an email, and then we're logged in, and we have that account, and we get our little welcome email and whatever, and we can turn off our subscription notification. It's easy. It is easy enough to do. And I think just listening to you, it's definitely given me that motivation and incentive to say it's really not an inconvenient step in the long run. We do it all the time now. There's so many things that we have to create a quick account for to access.
And
Maybe
it's
before.
also, I was going to say, it's also really important around me. For example, sports teams often have a dedicated type of share site. It used to be Shutterfly, but that's, gone now. But there are other ones. And I actually tested out a few, and I think you have to be even more careful when you're dealing with children and sports because you don't really know, this is a big group of people, a whole team. And I tried out a couple sites. I tried out one, I forget what it was called, but I tried out this app. I downloaded it. It was touted as a way to share these sports photos for your team. I downloaded it and I added my son, who is often a tester, for me. And he went on there and he could see it and it was great. And he could comment on the photos and it was great, wonderful. And then he added my husband and I had no control over that. I didn't even know he had done it. So you really need to test these things out and know, because there was no way to lock that down. There was no invited sharing. There was, nothing. And that could easily, you could imagine how that could easily get out of control. So it's important to know what it is that you're using, and is there an invited share feature? Does it control, does whoever started have control over who is being added to the site or who can view it, either by, can you just send that link? You don't want to ever do that, especially in that kind of situation, a school or a children. I just really wanted to bring that up because that is an area where people seem to completely forget.
That's very common. Also, can I complicate the whole thing?
It's not complicated enough.
So let's assume we're using the way that you just described, using the invited share where you can only get in if you've got a login with the email address that the link was sent to. Now, once this person is in, can they then share those photos with others still? They could, I mean, if they can download, it's easy anyway, but even if they can't, and we're not assuming, expecting the worst from people, but in theory, could they then share them on themselves?
Yeah, in theory, probably. So they would not be able to share that group of 10 photos directly because they don't have the access to allow somebody else's email in. They can't do that. But if you are on a site that allows downloading, then that person could download those photos and then do whatever they want with them.
Course.
So what are some of the things that some like maybe some red flags that you could just provide as a good resource for people to become aware of that they could look out for to help them in this area?
So the first thing is, and people are going to hate this, but you really should read the terms of service. And nobody reads the terms of service because they're long and they're boring and, you figure you have no control over it anyway, so why read it? But I've read them all for the bigger companies. And so just to stress, the Apple, the Google, Forever, SmugMug, I've read a bunch of them. They're pretty safe. They are not going to sell your photos to third parties and they're not going to use your photos. But there are probably a lot of companies in the middle that aren't as big and well known as those companies. that don't have that restriction. So you may want to look at, you can search, often you can search third party. If you were just opening up a terms of service, search for the word third party and see what does it say. You know, one example, this isn't a storage solution, but it's very similar, is my niece ran a race in, I believe, California, running race. And when she registered for the race, every time you register for literally anything, you click the box for the terms of service, which she did. And I have no idea if she read it. But then a year later, when that race was coming up again, somebody sent her a picture of her in an Instagram post by the race company that had some kind of notice about, you know, come join us on Sunday while we run this half marathon or whatever it was. And she had no idea that that was out there, or that it, you know, how could they possibly use my photo? And it was a very cute photo, I will say, because my niece is beautiful, of course. But, and I said, well, it's probably when you clicked that registration, that little checkbox, I bet anything that it says in there that they can use your photo for race-related items. Yeah. I'm positive of it. It's everywhere. With photo storage solutions, the big ones, you're not going to see that, but there could be some maybe up and coming ones, or lesser known, or private, or local, where you would want to take a look at that. You want to maybe search the terms for things like third party to see if they're selling your information, mm-hmm. your data.
Right.
That's one I would definitely look for. That's a big one. You will find third party terms in every storage solution, because they do need to give some of your data in order to function to vendors. For example, if you're, you know, Forever, for example, has a printing company. You can order photo books, you can order mugs, you know, same with Smug Mugs, same with a lot of these companies do it. And they have to be able to give some of your data to the printing company in order to fulfill the services.
Yeah.
That you want. But that's very, very different from using that photo in their advertising for, you know, their products, which you don't want to see.
Yes. Okay. So third party, maybe advertising, is that another one then? Or how do they kind of get around that as far as terms?
Right. So you can look up advertising, and most of them will say, again, Google and Amazon say they will not use your personal data. And I'm, you know, rewriting the words here. I don't have the actual terms in front of me, but that they will not use your personal data for advertising. One of the really funny things about that, for companies that do other things, they're not just photos. So I'll just pick on Amazon and Google for that, because they do so many other things. They sell products, they have maps, they, you know, they do literally everything. Some people will say, you know, it's really creepy. I just uploaded a whole bunch of photos of a soccer game, and now I'm getting ads for cleats and soccer balls.
Wow.
I would actually argue that they're not pulling that from your photos, because Google and Amazon are pretty good in that regard. But I bet you also searched somewhere recently for things like cleats or soccer balls or soccer nets or anything having to do with soccer. And that's how they're targeting you for ads. But they will use stuff. They will use the fact that you have your photos on their site to advertise their other services. So if they have printing services, you might get Mother's Day in the United States is coming up, and you might get ads for create a beautiful mug for your mother on Mother's Day. I get those from Shutterfly, and the ad will have a picture of a mug with some photo that's in my account on it.
Oh. Right.
So it is targeted. It's just coming to me. It's not going to my poor mom or anybody else with my photos on it. It is coming to me, and they are going to use my photos for that. But that's a question of where you decide, is that a problem or is that not a problem?
Yes.
You know, there's a risk versus reward thing to weigh here as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we really do support a digital. I mean, people have different views, obviously, but as far as when we're talking about, having three different backups and having, something offsite somewhere, whether that's on an external hard drive or a cloud storage, we do support the accessibility and the, all these different things. And it is really great to be able to have our photos like that, but it is bringing to, my awareness just to become clear on what that means and some
You
of
just
the
have to
risks and
be.
limitations around not just our privacy settings, but just becoming aware. It's really interesting.
Yeah, you need to weigh the risk versus the reward. And the reward is I can have all 100,000 plus photos available on my phone. But the risk is that, if I'm widely sharing them in a variety of means, they can get out there. So I have had some clients that are very, very risk averse. They do not trust the cloud, and nothing I say will change their mind, nor would I necessarily want to, because if something were to happen, they get hacked, which we haven't talked about, but anything can be hacked. But I have put them in other solutions that are not cloud-based because they are just so risk averse. They don't, and I've talked to them about sharing. So one example would be, I do have a client who's very risk averse. We keep her out of the cloud. Everything is on a hard drive, which she accesses from her computer. But she sent a few photos to her mom, who put them on Facebook. So, like I said it towards the beginning, you are your own worst enemy. It's your sharing that is more likely to compromise the privacy in your photos than these well-known cloud services. Obviously, I can't speak to all cloud services, so I'm just focusing on the ones where most people have their photos, and those are relatively safe. It's what you do with them that becomes the problem. And
So, do you recommend to, in that case that you just mentioned where they shared it, they keep it out of the cloud, but they still shared it in another way, and then it's out of our control. So the only thing I see there is how we can avoid that is to actually communicate and to tell people that we don't want this photo to go any further, or what else, what can we do about that?
definitely communications is key. If you don't want your things out there, first of all, I would think about it before you send it and think about who you're sending it to and whether that is a person that does tend to post a lot of things or do they not tend to post a lot of things, because some people are big sharers. Grandma wants to show how cute their new grandbaby is, and so that's what they do. But I think for most people, if you just ask them, please don't put this out there. But also, you need to be cognizant of what you're sharing. So if you are sharing cute photos of your young son in the bath and young son is naked, really think about, do you want to actually send that to anybody? Or just wait until you see grandma and show her your phone, or have a print made. Because while you can then, I mean, technically grandma could take a picture of the print and then post that. It's just a lot more work and is less likely. But it's just more about being cognizant of what you're sharing and who you're sharing it with and sort of knowing their habits a little bit and asking them, look, I really want to send this to you, but you really have to respect my boundaries and not put this out there. And I think for some photos, that's more important than others,
Because you're coming from that legal background, I'm interested to hear, and this might be a bit, not off topic, but take it maybe too far, but As parents, especially, I'm not one of them. I try to avoid. I've never really posted pictures on Facebook or so of the kids, or if they were in the picture, maybe from behind, not their full face and things like that. I'm very mindful and careful with that, but a lot of people are not. So, eventually those kids will be grown ups and they might say, "Hey, mom, what on earth did you think? Now I've got like that whole history on Facebook from me being born to to teenager and whatnot. I don't want that." And like babies, little kids, they don't have a say in it, do they? Parents just post. So is that like moving forward, and I'm not sure what's happening and going on in the legal world as such in that respect, but is there change coming in terms of, are there discussions about that whole topic of oversharing, if we want to call it that way, or sharing photos that of people that we actually maybe shouldn't because they didn't have a say in it?
I think there's some. I can say I don't have any clue legally where that is. It's not something I've looked at, but there has been some discussion about that because once something is out there in social media, on the internet, it is out there and you cannot scrub it. You cannot get rid of it. It's always going to be there. I think it would take a great deal of effort to even try, and I'm not sure that you can. So I do know that there is a small movement anyways by a small group of parents to say, look, I'm not putting anything of my kids out there because this is going to be their legacy. So when they go apply for college or their first job and their future employer does an internet search and they find, oh, this really funny picture of my 5-year-old holding a cigar. Right. And I mean, everybody knows that 5-year-old's not really smoking a cigar, but you could imagine that there are other situations that are completely innocuous. They're totally fine, but could be misread or misunderstood by somebody just looking at it. And our kids should be able to control that. We didn't grow up that way. There was nothing like this when I was growing up. My parents have not even very many like physical prints of me, never mind. There was nothing on the internet. But the kids, my kids, I've certainly shared some. I never used their full names, because that always bothered me. But there are some pictures out there of them that I've put on Facebook, I've put on Instagram, not a whole lot. And I fewer now that they're older. And now any of them are usually with me so that I know that. There's nothing bad going on there. But for the kids, you are talking about their legacy and it's their life. And I'm not sure that we really have the right, not in the legal sense, but just in the social responsibility sense. I'm not sure that we have the right to create that kind of footprint for them. And they have no
Absolutely.
control over it.
It's so interesting. And I think, one of the things that I've loved about being able to have you on today, I think, is just to, bring up a lot of these topics for people to think about. And it really is so helpful to have that awareness around some of these things. And I know that there is a lot of movement and talk about that. What rights do we have about that with our kids? And I think that's a really interesting one. And I think this whole topic of sharing those photos too is something that's maybe a little bit, it's been a bit more vague as to what the implications of that could be. So it's really shed a lot of light around a topic I think that is important to think about for people. Really important. One thing I'd like to ask you, Alison, is, we've sort of touched on a whole range of different things today, but what's something that we haven't asked you that you might have liked us to have asked you?
That's a little bit broad.
It is. But what's
Yeah,
something we
that's
haven't
all right.
touched on you'd like to, just sort of share if there's something?
So, one thing that I see a lot, and this is partially photo related and partially not, but it's just general good privacy sense. is, you know, I work with a lot of client collections, and that requires me to have a lot of passwords to people's accounts, their, mm-hmm. you know, their iCloud accounts, their Amazon accounts, everything. And people have very little awareness of how bad their passwords are. So I was given an iCloud password so that I could get in and work in their Apple Photos, and the photos themselves, the settings are all great. Everything's perfect. Everything's private. And their password was their dog's birthday. And, you know, there's a gazillion photos of their dog on the day that they got, it was actually their dog's adoption day. And there's a zillion photos in their account of that day. And every year on Facebook, they post a picture celebrating that day. So if I wanted to guess that password, I could, it would probably be my second, I'd get it on my second try. And so this goes beyond photos. This is just general privacy sense. You know, your password should never be your dog's birthday. It shouldn't be your birthday. It should be some combination of things that no one will ever guess. And that is a whole different talk. But whenever I work with anybody, or if I've ever given a password to somebody for any reason, I tell them to change it as soon as we're done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I actually often tell them to change it before they give it to me in the first place, because so many of these passwords are, you know, Chantal's photos with a capital C and a capital P. Right. Yes. And when we were talking earlier about that share link with SmugMug and the password, that's the type of password I've seen the most often that goes with photos. It's, you know, Allison's photos with a capital A and a capital P. The number of times I've seen something like that is really, really crazy. So anybody listening should go out right now and make sure that your passwords are not all the same, first of all, and that you, now's a really good time to change them.
Yes.
Because those are your little PSA for today.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah. That's such a good point. I will be, I mean, passwords, oh, it is a whole new topic, but it is such a good, good thing to leave on.
Right. And people don't protect their photo passwords very well because they think there's not a lot in there, you know, who really cares about pictures of my dog? So those passwords actually tend to be weaker than others. When, as we talked about earlier, if you think about it, the amount of information that people can get from your photos, they'll know where you live, your habits, where your kids go to school, how old your kids are, what types of things are in your house, what you like to eat, what you wear, you know, where you get your hair done, all of that stuff, where your favorite cup of coffee comes from. That's all in your photos. So I would actually argue your photos should be as well protected as your bank accounts.
Yeah, such a good point to leave on. I think that is awesome. Alison, how can people find you? And, you know, we'd love to just, you know, lift up your business and yourself and just be able to sort of point people to you and what, you know, what you're working on and how they might be able to work with you. Could you share that with us, please? That would be great.
Of course. So, and I think you'll probably put this down in the notes, but my business name is Arrange Wander, wander as in wandering around the world, focus. So it's arrangewanderfocus.com. I'm based in Chicago, but I work with clients everywhere. I don't have an Australian client yet, but I have plenty in Europe and all over the world. So, you know, go to my website and you can send me an email from there, a phone call or set up a chat. And I actually also have a small service that I do, which is helping people figure out what cloud service is best for them. And it's a quick consult based on your own habits and where your photos are. I send this long questionnaire, you fill it out, and then we have a chat about what might work best for you. And privacy certainly factors into that as well. But I'll just stick that out there. And that's also on my listed on my website.
Fantastic. I love that. I think that's a really great service to be able to offer. And sometimes, you know, that is just what people need, is something. I love it. Yeah, that's
Or
great.
sometimes they just, they want to do a lot of it themselves. Like I suspect a lot of people on this that listen to this podcast want to do, but they can't figure out, it's overwhelming. Where should I put my stuff? So I also offer full service digital organizing and scanning and all of that stuff as well. But I know that DIYers often like that just storage solution consult. And maybe some coaching along with that, just so that they can get a handle on what they should do with their collections.
Yeah, that's true. So to leave us, would you tell us if you had a 15-second elevator pitch to broadcast to the world about photos or privacy or something like that, what would you like to leave?
Well, I have a lot more than 15 seconds. Obviously, I have a full hour, however long we've been talking. But I would just say we'll keep it to privacy. And I just really want people to be a lot more cognizant of the photos, the types of photos that they're sharing, and where they are sharing them. Where are those photos going? And how would you feel if that photo ended up on a billboard in Times Square or, in Sydney or wherever. And if it's something that, that would be a really horrible thing, then think twice about whether you would actually want to share that photo out. And if you do, how you're going to do it. Maybe use some of the more secure methods that we've talked about today.
Fantastic. That's awesome. I love it. Thank you so much. It's been
Thank
such
you.
A pleasure to be able to chat with you today. And Chantelle, I think we should mark down an idea of having Alison back to talk about her actual organizing of her photos. I think that's going to be a
I like you thinking. I've already made a note.
That's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
And yeah. Alison, we'd love to welcome you to Australia. And by the way, as you probably know, because you've been here before, we have wonderful and beautiful boots and lots of them.
I know that you do, and I would love to come and visit you, and I would come knocking on your door.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm so thrilled. Thank you so much for having me on. This was so much fun, and getting to meet you in as close to in person as we've been able to come has been really wonderful, because I love your podcast and everything that you do.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much. Well, to our lovely listeners, thank you again for joining us. And just a reminder, pop over to the website. You'll find all the goodies about things that, that we're up to, and sign up for our newsletter, or pop in even a wish list for any kind of a future episode that you might like us to cover. And of course, feedback. You're welcome to email us or contact us. Just jump on the website. That's the best way to do that. So I am Fiona from Photo Helper.
And I am Chantelle from Photos in Order. As always, thanks so much for being here, for listening to us, and happy photo organizing. And thanks again, Alison, for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.